Open our hearts, our minds, our imaginations as we come to look at your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Romans 12 reading, you've read it before, many of you, but if you want to have a look at it, it's 1075, page 1075, Romans 12. And this weekend, I had a sort of bit of a new insight into how we might kind of think about that brilliant reading. Before I do that, though, can anybody here capable of soaring and anybody able to come up here and just, it's relatively stable, saw this piece of wood for me? There must be a carpenter or somebody like that here that could saw a piece of wood for me, or a reasonably competent. There's no risk assessment here. That was encouraging. Do you want to come around this way? Okay, let's turn this around then so you've got some.
Where do you want me to saw it?
Anywhere you fancy, just keep it away from your fingers. Actually, he's doing a good job now. Very neat.
With a bit of luck, that should be square.
That's not bad.
I've made quite a lot of furniture in my time.
Francis, before you disappear, where did you learn to saw?
Where did I learn to
saw? How did you learn to saw?
I had a very good woodwork teacher in my grammar school.
Brilliant. Take a seat.
And his name, I can't remember it just now, but I do know it.
You'll tell us later.
You cut me down the steps.
I'll take you down the steps.
There we are.
Brilliant. Thank you, Francis. That's amazing. Think of something that you can now do really well. Okay? When you first started, you couldn't do it as well. Can you think of something? Something that you're actually pretty good at. But when you first started, you couldn't do it anything like as well. So it's a bit of a cliche that clergy like fishing, which is why I've never kept it up in my sort of adult years. But I did used to like fishing. And my dad taught me to fish. And the first time I went fishing, we were living in Cyprus. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And we were at a dam called Yamsoya Dam. And there you go carp fishing, so you use a big weight. And I was stood by the sides of the dam, and it goes quite deep, quite quickly, okay? It wasn't by the dam wall, so it wasn't that deep. And my dad was saying, just give it a, it's got a quite big weight on it, give it a big cast out. And so I cast it out, and what happened? I went in with the rod. Okay. I am significantly a better fisherman than when I first started fishing. In fact, I very rarely fall in when I go fishing these days. Hardly at all. At the weekend, some of us were working on St. James Centre. And it's been great. And one of the things that's been really, really good is that for some of us, we've learnt some new skills. So a lot of you know Ray Smith, and Ray Smith is a really talented project manager, handyman, just really capable at sort of getting us to get around the work that we need to do in the St. James's Centre. And I've done quite a bit of DIY, but one of the things that I learnt to do with Ray on Friday, and then Paul Riley also learnt to do it, was to, we took up a load of boards from one of the rooms that had gone rotten, and we put down chipboard, and we got it all straight and all neat, and I've now learnt that skill from Ray. And then yesterday in the morning, there was a handful of us in there, and Ray was there with that saw and that piece of wood and that workbench, and he was showing one of our teenagers from this church how to cut a piece of wood. The teenager knew how to do it to a degree, but Ray was just giving him some gentle, careful advice, an older man showing a younger man how to cut the piece of wood. And it was absolutely wonderful. I was just quietly over here drilling away, and I watched Ray, with good humour, show this young lad how to cut a piece of wood. And it was like the best intergenerational church you could imagine, because they both had a common purpose. They were working on St. James's Centre. They both had a job to do. We both needed, you know, things needed to be done at St. James's Centre. And here was this younger man showing this older man showing this younger man how to cut a piece of wood. And it was great. Let me just read some of those verses that we heard earlier on. So from verse 4, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. If it is to teach how to use a saw, do it gently and humbly and with good humour." To be fully human is to be connected. And in this, you know, if I was to get carried away with a saw and to saw, my hand is a pretty useful thing. Both hands, pretty useful things. But actually, if I was to saw off my hand, one, that would be quite messy. A number of you would probably faint. But if I was to saw off my hand and put it to one side, that hand by itself would be pretty useless. Agreed? Good. Our brain cells, we have 100 million brain cells, okay, and they all connect to each other by synapses. Each brain cell needs about 10,000 brain cells to be useful. So it connects to around 10,000 neighboring brain cells to be useful. A brain cell by itself is useless. You and I, by ourselves, are less than useful. We need to be connected to be fully human. If you think about, you know, the 7.7 billion of us on the earth, and if you think about human ingenuity, think about all the great developments that have happened, they have tended to happen with people working together. Even the greats have always stood on the shoulders of other people, those individuals that have made huge leaps forward. And one of the biggest impacts of sin, us being selfish, us mucking things up, is human disconnection. So for us to be fully human is to be connected to one another, connected to God. The biggest impact of sin, of our selfishness, of us mucking things up, is that it creates disconnection. Disconnection between God and disconnection between one another. It's a bit like those synapses of the brain breaking and the cells surviving independently on their own. So to stay human is to stay connected. And it can be messy. Staying connected to other human beings can be messy. And if you don't believe me, read the Old Testament or take a closer look at your own family or where you used to work or where you do work, or sometimes even in this church. Doing human relationships can be messy. And sometimes it can be easier to keep your distance, especially if you've been hurt or life has had its disappointments. It just can be easier to keep your distance. The thing about brain cells is when they're on their own, not only are they useless, but they're actually dead. Brain cells need other brain cells. They need to remain connected by the synapses. And research again and again shows that staying connected, us staying connected, really, really matters. So whether it's research with very young children, those born and their relationship with their mother, those at school, all the way up to older age, if we have good relationships, if we have good connection, it really does matter. It matters with our mental health. It matters with our physical health. Staying connected to people, having good relationships, even a small number of good relationships, really can help things like offset dementia. Research shows that even though it doesn't reduce the liability of getting cancer, having good relationships does affect our resilience to that cancer. That's phenomenal. Because they've worked out that it turns on and off different gene sequences that help us respond to a cancer. And for men in their 20s to 40s, and at that age group, one of the biggest killers in this country is suicide. But for men in their 20s to 40s, one of the most significant factors that makes a difference to whether they do or they don't is whether they've got one good friend. And we can remember this from our school days, can't we? When we were at school, actually having one good friend is all it took sometimes to help us get through the crappier stuff that sometimes happened at school. So I think it's fair to say, if we think about that brain cell analogy, that we actually die a little. There's a little less of us, just like the brain cells, when we are not connected. When we're not connected to God and other humans. And the other thing about being connected, and what the noise weekends have shown me, and what this church shows me, is that we grow together. We learn together. Just as that teenage boy was learning with Ray, we grow and we learn together as we remain connected. And we thrive. Actually, I think it's probably the most countercultural thing that we can do. One of the most countercultural things that we can do is to remain connected with one another. Think about the political system now where everything is about where I stand against where you are, and there's a division between us. The most countercultural politician would be the one that would say, you and I have different political views, but let's remain connected to work this out, rather than slagging each other off. And that's the thing about church when it gets it right. Our connect groups, the noise, joining a team, sharing with one another before the service and after the service and having coffee, help us remain connected, help us remain able to grow and to share, to grow in our relationship with God and with one another. Amen.